Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words phone interview with Mr. Chase Hughlin. He's taking time from a killer writing session with some Have Mercy people in Baltimore, so much respect for that. And I'm a fan of his music, I'm a fan of his manager, Ross Roby, and I'm also a fan of In Vogue Records, so this should be quite a treat. And this is my first ever interview. Well, actually, this is the first time I've ever worn sunglasses indoors for more than 2 minutes, but I ordered a pair of prescription sunglasses because I'm going on my honeymoon soon, and I wanted to be able to see without getting wicked face burn, and Warby Parker delivered this badass pair to my LA address while I was in New York, and someone robbed our mailboxes. So all our mail was stolen. I mean, luckily with bills online, you know, we could get all that done, but my sunglasses were stolen and I actually spent some money, and Fish is shaking his head because that's a crime, literal crime. So I emailed the fine folks at Warby Parker and they said, you know what? For a Christmas Hanukkah present, we're just going to mail you another pair and we won't charge you. So they don't know anything about this product placement, but probably the best customer service I've ever dealt with. And sometimes when you're talking to people on Sprint or on Comcast or Time Warner, you're on hold for hours and hours, and this is just seamless. So it's a good business move. So thank you very much, Warby Parker. That's why I'm wearing these sunglasses right now, and I see really cool, and I feel like Kanye West. So normally I talk about all the bands that we're working with before the show, but I just want to give a shout out to the producers that I co-manage with Ross Roby, because this is a Ross Roby themed episode. We've got Alex Arias, who has done some work with the Strumbellas, the Mowglis, and even Cher. I am not kidding. We've got Danny Balistocchi, who is the very first guest on this show, who's worked with Metro Station, Unwritten Law, Rev Run, possibly Fish's roommate. It's crazy. We've also got Dave Dominguez, who is just on this show, and he's worked with Weezer, Stained, Ninja Sex Party, and many, many other acts. And Kim Shattuck from the band The Muffs, she was on the show too. So the only person who's yet to be on the show is Alex Arias, but I have a feeling in 2017 when I get back from Asia, he'll be on it. Special shout outs to the Boomtown Crooks, which is Zach James, Candy Hearts, Film Speed, Mirror Eyes. So stick around. Chase Hughlin will be on the phone in just a bit, and just enjoy your holidays. In California, there's only 2 seasons. So wherever you are, have some s'mores, sit by the fire, and listen to some Gone Fishkin later in the day. Much love from Waldman's Words. Stay tuned. Hi, I've got Chase Hughlin on Waldman's Words right now, and you know an interview is going to go well when it starts off with a time crunch. So let's do this, Chase. How you doing?
Yeah, let's do it.
How did we meet, Chase?
The internet.
The internet?
Well, maybe. More so like I did a tour with one of your artists.
Yep.
And I've been seeing you ever since.
It's pretty crazy. You were on the road, the Substream tour with Candy Hearts, and then Ross and I got acquainted, and me and you got acquainted, and we talk on the phone every now and again. We were supposed to hang out recently, but you had kind of a tour snafu. We'll get into that later, but
yeah.
How's your day going? What are you doing right now? I heard a rumor that you're on the East Coast in Baltimore doing some killer stuff.
Yeah. I'm doing some top secret stuff in Baltimore right now. I actually just had I just had brunch with a band called Daisy Head.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so just hanging out. I'm DJing Emo Night tonight in Baltimore.
Wow. The guy to my right, Fish, knows nothing about Emo Night whatsoever. And I actually am one of the only people in my peer group who hasn't gone to Emo Night yet. I'm kind of waiting for the right time. I hear good things.
Yeah. I'm going to get really, really, really drunk.
You're going to get drunk? Originally,
yeah.
The first time we hung out, I heard a rumor that you said that I was a little bit over the legal limit, too. So
I don't remember.
Good. I appreciate you doing that. That's some good coverage.
Scott Waldman drunk? Don't remember.
What are you talking about? So to my left, we've got the actual CEO of Adobe in the room. So you really should not fuck this up right now. He's really, he doesn't even have headphones on. He doesn't even know what's happening. He's just looking at me. Anyway, So you're a big deal, Mr. Chase Hughlin. So you've been playing music since you were a kid, I understand, correct?
Yep.
Let's hear about it. You're from the Midwest. I went to school in the Midwest. Let's talk about this.
Well, I started music. It started off as like an elementary school sort of thing. I wanted to play drums, but my band teacher said that I needed to play the French horn. So it started there.
Small mouthpiece, right?
What was that?
Isn't that like a small mouthpiece, the French horn? I played trombone.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
meant for
pretty
more...
small mouthpiece. But I played the French horn for a year. But yeah, so then I just kind of like my love for music started there. I really fell in love with this band called Avenged Sevenfold.
Ah, they just released a new surprise record. Did you listen?
Yes, they did. Yeah, so I got like really into them at a pretty young age, and decided that I wanted to do this music thing. So
it's cool you're hanging out with Daisy Head, who's a Hopeless band. You know, Avenged started on Hopeless, and look at them now. So
yeah, dude, they're great, man. I love Daisy Head. Oh, I have some friends getting into the car now.
I heard the turn signal or some kind of beep or whatever.
It's gonna be noisy in here for a second.
I'm really looking forward to that. So it sounds like, I mean, we debate a lot about Hawthorne Heights and about bands' best records, and I believe your favorite Hawthorne Heights album is Skeletons, which is my second favorite, next to
Definitely.
If Only You Were Lonely. What's your favorite Avenged album? And I have a feeling it's not mine.
My favorite Avenged Sevenfold album is definitely the self-titled.
Okay. That's my second favorite. I'd say Nightmare and then the self-titled. I love the self-titled,
though. Dude, I think Nightmare is, like, a great record because, like, the drummer, Rez, mm-hmm. like, he played such, like, an important piece of my life. And since that was, like, the last record that he wrote on, I think it will have, like, a special place in my heart.
Yep.
But, I don't know, man. Just, like, the self-titled record for me is just so good. But Nightmare is honestly probably my close second.
Well, we usually agree on, like, the top two in just different order. Save Me is my favorite Avenged song, but on the self-titled, you know, they have so many good songs. And they completely – I heard that they were on tour with Disturbed after City of Evil, and that's when they kind of changed their game into not as crazy fast.
Dad rock.
Yeah, it's just it's more dad rock. I can hear it. And you rock the dad hat. So that makes sense.
I do rock a dad hat. I didn't invent a dad hat, but I definitely perfected it.
I mean, I didn't invent the scruff, but I perfected it. So we're different people. We have different...
Yes, you did, Scott Waldman. That's for damn sure.
Thank you very much, Chase Hughlin. So you've been playing the French horn. How did you get to playing in bands? Because I know that you were in some bands before you delved into the acoustic.
I'm going to tie back in my love with Avenged Sevenfold. It literally Ooh. Just started as me listening to Avenged Sevenfold with, like, a group of friends. And, like, everyone was like, oh, I'll play guitar. And I was like, oh, well, all the guitars are taken. I guess I'll learn how to play drums. And so kind of takes my love for Avenged Sevenfold and the Rev even further, that I was like, oh my god, I want to be just like this guy. So I played the drums, and so when I was in middle school, I switched from French horn to playing percussion in a band.
Which drum specifically? Did you have to, like, play the bass drum or the snare, or how that worked?
So get this. So in percussion, I wanted to play the bass drum and the snare, but I never did. I played the bells. So when I learned the bells, I kind of learned how to play piano, or like I was able to translate my knowledge of bells to piano. So when I was in ninth grade, there was this band called To the Point that I like helped started, and I was the keyboard player because I was the only one from school that knew how to play piano.
Well, it translated from bells to that, so
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what happened was we played one show as To the Point, and then we had another show booked. Something happened. I forget what happened, but I got, like, kicked out of the band for whatever stupid reason.
How old
were like,
you?
Maybe 15 or
oh,
younger.
Shoot.
And so I had the second show booked. And so as my revenge as getting kicked out of the band, I stole the show from To the Point. I just told the promoter, I was like, yeah, To the Point can't play, but I can. And that was my first, like, solo show ever.
I mean, that's a dick move, but, I mean, it worked out for you.
I mean, like, looking back on it now, it's kind of funny, but...
Huh. You stole the show, literally. Aha, aha, aha.
Yes, sir.
So
yeah, I was so the band was called To The Point, and for a while I was calling myself Cut To The Chase because I thought it was funny.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty petty.
No, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, basically, I used to say not just any man, Waldman, to people, but that didn't really go over well. So everyone has to do their own thing. I heard Fish does something with his name, too. So,
hey, Scott, just so you know, the person that I'm with, I think you actually know her. I'm with Rachel Cooper right now.
That name sounds...
from Baltimore.
Hello!
Hi!
Do you know Rachel, right?
Yeah, she's an internet friend. Hello.
Oh, the internet.
That's crazy. What a small world we live in. Hello.
Hi.
You're actually the first person, Rachel Cooper, to be a secondary guest on a show. It's normally one-on-one, so I guess either congrats or I'm sorry.
Sorry for cheating your system.
Sorry for being so unprepared, Scott.
No, you've got a doctorate in awesome. Keep going. So is that when you went full scale with your own solo stuff, or I understand you've been in other bands since, right?
Nothing like as serious as this. Like, I've never toured with any other band. I was in a Christian rock band that sounded a lot like Chevelle 3 years ago when we were called Union Chapel, which sounds like super deep, like with deep meaning, but really it was just the road that all of us lived on.
Yeah, but chapel also has some religious connotation too, so it makes sense.
So Union Chapel, it sounds like super deep, but realistically it just was the road that we all lived on.
Were you the singer?
I was not the singer, actually. I was the bass player. My friend Jesse was the singer.
Got it. Well, then how did you get out of the Christian scene and into solo and then eventually, inking a deal with...
I was just doing solo at the same time when I was in Union Chapel. I've kind of always had the solo thing in my back pocket. But really, it's the solo thing, it just happened so quickly. One day, I just wanted to record solo music, so I reached out to Matt from Citizen, and he was like, yeah, dude, let's do it. And, his prices were affordable, and I had, a few songs written, and so I went and recorded the songs. Didn't really think anything would happen. And then,
where was that?
I recorded in Toledo, Ohio.
Got it.
My
school was not that far away.
And I didn't really know what to do with it. I was in my head, I was just all right, well, I guess my next step is to send this to a label. And this was before management, before the booking agent. So I just I Facebook messaged Nicholas Moore. And,
that's crazy.
Nick will be the first person to admit that I'm the only person that's ever been signed off of Facebook Messenger. But
that's amazing. I mean,
so I bugged him enough on Facebook, and I think he liked the record. So
when did he sign you? When did Nick sign you?
Nick signed me in February of 2015.
That's crazy. And then shortly afterwards, you did the Substream tour, and then I guess you got hooked up
like a year after signing. I've been on Invoke now for almost closing up on 2 years now.
But you released an EP, and you released some other... Did you release singles on Invoke, too, or just an EP before you did Hang Island?
Yeah, so I did Glow, which was my first EP in April of 2015. And then the next thing I released on Invoke was a single in January.
Was Glow produced by the guy from Citizen, or was that afterwards?
Yeah, okay. Yep. Matt from Citizen did Glow.
That's pretty rad. And Citizen actually played So What Fest, where we hung out, too, that 3-day weekend, so that's pretty sweet. And then you got affiliated with Danny, who is in this band that I worshipped in high school and college called the Hippos, and Ross, and now Ross and I talk almost as much as my wife and I talk, so that's pretty sweet.
That's sweet, man.
How's your relationship with that guy? I love him.
Yeah, Ross is great.
Ross is the man. So,
I'm only saying Ross is great just because he's probably listening.
Oh, there's 100% chance that he's going to listen to this. So, and 99% chance he's going to put his hand to his head a few times. So that's good. In Vogue Records, and you just released a record. And it's funny, you were talking about the bells before, and I heard that incorporated into, some chimes, the opening track. So your actual... ban knowledge from grammar school and such went to play.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it did. And I see that stuff like peeking through like what I currently write sometimes, like especially like piano stuff, because like I really learned a lot about piano when I was like in middle school and high school. So
you're, some people say that, you know, the math that they learn growing up, you never get to use it and such, but your music knowledge from growing up really helped shape you. And I could say the same thing all the same.
I mean, I definitely learned the most about music from like middle school and stuff. Like at least like song, like theory wise, middle school, high school.
Are you confident?
Theory wise, I learned the most.
Are you competent with like circle fifths and mixolydian and all that theory
stuff?
No,
actually, funny story. I actually dropped out of music theory.
Okay.
But I was failing it, and my guidance counselor was like, "I thought you would be good at this." Like, yeah, me too.
That's funny. I think John Mayer dropped out of Berkeley and Boston. Like, there's a lot of incredible people. I mean, Bill Gates dropped out of college. So. And I heard a rumor about you and Ball State. I don't know too much about that, but I heard some rumor.
Oh, yeah.
There's some, acrimony with Ball State and Mr. Chase.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Do you have a corny joke for us?
What was that?
Do you have a corny joke for us? Because it seems like you're sponsored by those.
Oh, sponsored by corny jokes? Oh, let's see. How many skateboarders does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Three. One to do it, one to film it, and one to say, bro, that was totally sick.
Sick. I told one today that a few people liked, which was, you know, a lot of people ask, where's Waldo? But no one asks, how's Waldo?
No one asks about how he's doing?
Yeah, it's kind of messed up. He's a person just like us. He just has striped clothes.
Yeah, he definitely, I would like to think that Waldo has feelings.
I think he does. I mean, that's why everyone's always looking for him, because they're concerned with his
feelings. Everyone has a little bit of Waldo inside them, you know what I mean?
Well, I have a Waldman inside me. Well, actually, outside of me with my name. It's kind of crazy. And my wife might have a little Waldman inside of her. Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
I should name my first spawn Chase Hughlin Waldman.
Chase Hughlin Waldman.
It's a good name, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Chase Roby Waldman.
I've been calling...
Someone just coughed. Ross. Someone just coughed.
Recently, I've been calling Ross Roby Sauce Roby. Sauce Toby.
Got it.
I think it's funny.
I mean, yeah. You can't win them all, right?
No, you can't.
So we have a few more minutes, and then we're going to take a short break. Talk to me, I guess, about Nick and your relationship with InVogue, because you, and I would argue that Mirrorize too, and maybe even Courage My Love, InVogue normally has a lot more metal hardcore, and I'd say the past few years they've been branching out with other signings like you. So how is
that? I was, maybe Nick would disagree with this, but I personally feel like I was the first artist. Well, other than Hotel Books, but I think that I was the first artist that Nick, like, really took a risk on as far as, like, sonically-wise. Like, my music, there's no drums, especially, like, my first EP, it was just completely acoustic. So it was, like, I want to say it was, like, a pretty big jump for InVogue, and it was kind of scary for me, too, because I was like, man, wouldn't it be, like, the fan base, the following for InVogue is, like, all these, like, metalhead kids, and, like, they're probably not going to like my music. But it's been challenging, but it's been, like, really great. Like, getting people who normally would never listen to acoustic music, like, that maybe don't love it, but they, like, enjoy it enough to listen to it. I think that's a win for me.
Have you toured with any InVogue acts?
Yeah, I've toured with a few. First full U.S. tour I ever did was with a band called Dependent.
Mm-hmm. And they're pretty heavy.
They're pretty heavy. They're like a melodic hardcore band.
Right. Well, I mean, you've got running the gamut. You've done, well, we're going to talk about this after the break. You're touring. Obviously, Candy Hearts is very different than Dependence, and Say We Can Fly is very different from Dependence too. So, well, Nick, I feel, because I've been in the industry a tad longer than you, because I'm 93 years old, is just one of the more down-to-earth, sweet, label dudes I've met. He's not like any other A&R guy. He really, really, really is emotionally invested with every single act. I don't know. I can only imagine what his cell phone looks like with all the people blowing him up. So.
Oh, I can't imagine it, man. But, yeah, I love Nick. He's, like, grown to be, like, someone that I really look up to. And I would consider him, like, not only, like, business-wise, but I would also consider him, like, one of my best friends, too.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, he's great. I, like, really look up to that guy.
And there's another Nick that you worked with, I believe, on You Deserve an Island, correct?
Yeah, Nick Ingram.
Talk about that.
It was fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was, like, 6 days of me getting drunk and trying to remember what I wrote the day before.
Okay. That sounds productive.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. It was great. I think Nick Ingram's one of the most talented, easy-working, easy-going producers there is. So working with him was an honor.
Yeah, Nick Moore actually manages him, so that's pretty crazy. And he also did the recent Christmas compilation. He did all the bands on there, including Mirror Eyes and JT Woodruff and Hotel Books and Courage My Love. So it turned out pretty great.
Yeah, man, it was awesome.
I know you really liked your holiday song. You sent me that a long time ago, so.
Yeah, man. I love my holiday song. It's like one of my favorites that I've ever done.
Well, I guess just to cap this off, what was one of the highlights of recording You Deserve an Island with Nick Ingram, not Nick Moore.
One of my favorite highlights.
Any songs stick out to you more so than, obviously, you had a recent music video about the loss of your mother.
Yeah. I've been writing those songs for so long. I started, like, writing those songs, like, a year ago. Maybe even a year and a half ago. So those songs have been cooking for a very long time. So it was cool to finally, like, see that come to life.
Did you demo them before you used them with Nick, or how?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had it all on, like, iPhone memos for, like, for so long.
Okay.
So.
And then you tracked their record, I assume, with a click track. Did you actually do any of the drumming?
No, I did a few of them.
Okay.
None of the live drums, but there was, like, on Niagara, you hear, like, the rim shots, and, like, I did those, like, the clicks and stuff.
Cool.
I did some, like, small percussion stuff.
So you helped with the beats?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, just as much as Nick Ingram.
And you, did you play bass on it as well, or were you just the guitars?
To be, like, completely honest, I mean, like, if you look at the liner notes, you know this, but, like, I wrote all the guitar parts, but as far as recording it goes, I did a few songs, but a lot of the songs I just kind of passed off to Nick to record.
Oh, really?
He's a great guitarist. Yeah, he's a lot faster than I am, too. So, like, I wrote all of the guitar parts, but as far as just to save time, like, we did my record in 6 days.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's really quick for, was it, 10 tracks? I'm looking
at it now. Yeah, probably because Nick helped out so much with the writing, or with the recording process. But if I were to, you know, I can't stay on a click to save my life, so.
You know, there's some people that have problems with that, and the best way to do it is just to do it over and over. It's like, because I'm looking right now in my iTunes library, and it's just under a half-hour record. It's so quick.
Yeah, so, 28 minutes.
But it flows super well. Anyway, we're going to take a short break right now, and we'll resume, and we'll discuss touring and other public stories you have. All right, we are back with Waldman's Words with Chase Hughlin from Indiana and currently in Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
My ex-girlfriend is from Baltimore, so
yeah. You think she wants to hang out? Just kidding.
That is such a low blow, dude. How could you say that?
Immediately.
Do you think that when people say, "No offense, but," you know, like, they shouldn't even say what they're gonna say? Or just kidding,
yeah,
immediately.
The new ultimate backpedal, and you know that you've fucked up and you've gone too far about saying whatever you said. The ultimate backpedal nowadays is saying, which is totally fine. That's the new backpedal.
If
you find yourself saying it's totally fine, you should bail from whatever conversation that you're in.
You should just apologize like I do every morning to my wife. when we wake up. I'm sorry. So that's how the Waldman family starts its day, and I'm sure that that's how you open every one of your sets.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No,
actually, the new way that I open my set, especially on the tour that I just got off of, is literally by saying, "Hi, my name is Jay Suglin. If you talk while I play, I'll come after you. It's not a promise; it's a guarantee."
Wow.
And then I won't sing a single note until the whole room shuts the fuck up.
Wow. Dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's my thing.
When I saw you, I knew you were tough, but you just proved it with your words. That's nuts.
Yeah, dude, 14-year-olds get real intimidated when I do that.
I can only imagine. I mean, you could scare the shit out of them with your dad hat. But, no, I mean, I helped as your de facto dude in Dallas, so that was rad. So, speaking of touring, let's talk about it. So, did you start touring before you reached out to Nick, or how did that work?
Dude, the first tour I ever did was completely self-booked, and it was my first tour in support of my album on Invoke, or not album, Blow.
Okay.
So, almost 2 years ago, I did my first tour.
That's pretty sweet, and Dependence was your first Invoke act.
Cool U.S., yeah. The first tour I did was from Indiana out to Denver, and I was completely alone.
Yeah, because you don't typically tour in a van or a bus. You just drive it, right?
Yeah, I take my car.
So, and that's accrued quite a few miles and quite a few more money, more problems, I assume.
Yeah, definitely. It's like it's becoming a ticking time bomb for sure.
That sounds safe.
Yeah.
So you went out recently, though, with a buddy who is your TM merch guy, correct?
Yeah, yep, Jimmy. Yep, it was my first time ever touring with a tour manager, and I honestly don't think I'll ever do a tour without one.
Well, it makes you a little bit more sane, right? Because you don't have to do 10 million different things at once.
Yeah, it definitely makes my life a little easier for sure. And he's just like my best friend, so being around that guy for that long is just so much fun.
You're one of those people with a lot of best friends, aren't you?
I actually don't. I really don't have that many friends.
I'm your friend.
I do, but no one that I see on like a regular basis.
But that's the nomadic life you've chosen. I remember when I was in a band on tour, I was lucky if I saw people other than my own band and the people around us quite regularly. You got to kind of budget your time for that because you never know where you're going to be.
Exactly. Yeah. I love Jimmy. He's great.
He's a good dude.
Listen to this.
Yeah, I was going to meet him, and hopefully I'll meet him in January when I get back from a honeymoon.
Yeah. He's coming out with me in January. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, you guys who are you touring with? You're playing Chain Reaction, I saw, so.
Yeah, it's with this band called Home Safe and Life Lesson.
Sick.
So, yeah, man. It'll be rad.
You're on a whole bunch of different genre-wise tours, which is awesome. I mean, I met you because you were on tour with Candy Hearts and September Stories, and just recently, Say We Can Fly, and it seems like you guys are beyond bros now.
Yeah. Braden, even for a long time, I've been really close friends with Braden. So he's had my back for the past year. He's a great guy.
Where's he from?
He's from Ontario, Canada. He lives in a small town called Bob Cajun.
Is that outside of Toronto, or is it just...
It's like 2 hours north of Toronto in the middle of freaking nowhere.
You played one gig in Canada on this tour, was it? Or how many? I don't recall.
Thank you. No. Sorry, Scott. I'm switching rides right now.
You're switching your whip?
But, what was the question?
Canada. You played one gig in Canada?
We played one show in Toronto, actually. It was a lot of fun.
How did this Say We Can Fly kids respond? It seems like they're pretty rabid. They're totally into it.
Like the fans?
Yeah.
Man, it was definitely like a challenge every night. You know, there's some people that like me, some people that don't.
You were first on the bill, though, right?
Yeah, I was first at 5 every night.
Oh, wow.
Some nights there were local support, some nights there weren't. But when there was local support, I played second.
Okay. And we were supposed to, like I said, the last segment, meet up, and we were going to get some bomb food, but you got derailed. What happened in Fresno?
I got st- stuck. My power steering went out on my car. It wasn't like not like a fluid thing. It was actually just a like the sensor went out in my car.
Oh boy.
So, which sucks because like there's no like preventive maintenance that I can do for that. Like there's nothing I could have done in my power to prevent that.
Is that just a natural wear and tear thing from just driving a shit ton, or how does that happen?
I think it's just the sensor going bad. Like, I think it's just, like, force to blame. Like, it's not me, you know?
The force awakens?
So, I guess, man. It sucks, but...
All right.
Man.
Well, positive spin. What was your favorite Star Wars movie?
Honestly, dude, I'm going to sound like a dork, but I don't really watch those.
No, you actually sound like less of a dork for having not watched them. I'm
actually,
much...
as I said it, I was like, yeah, that makes me less of a dork. But, yeah, dude, I really don't watch those movies.
I'm going to sound like a dork here, but I don't play Dungeons & Dragons.
We're going to go out on a limb and sound like a dork, but honestly, I've never played Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really... I love movies. Like, I love independent movies. Like, when I'm home, I typically try to watch, like, 2 independent films, like, a day.
A day? Like, that's a lot.
I love movies, man. It's like, other than music, like, okay, so music's my favorite art form. Comedy is a close second. Like, I think comedy is just brilliant. Because, like, comedy is so, like, universal. But then, movies. They're just great. They're awesome.
Well, then, don't you think they should make Book of Mormon into a movie musical? Because then it would have the best of all worlds.
Holy shit. That'd be rad.
Have you seen it?
Book of Mormon?
Yeah, it's Trey Parker, Matt Stone, South Park guys made the musical movie. I mean, not movie, sorry. It was a Broadway show. It won a million Tonys. It's amazing. It's exceptional.
Holy shit, man. No, I've never seen it, but
you can listen to it on Spotify.
That sounds great. Sounds wonderful. I mean, I've seen The Passion of Christ. It's pretty much the same thing, right?
Identical. It's like the same thing as the Ten Commandments or any Muslim-based film. Yeah, verbatim. So, Well, you're talking about movies. Have you ever thought about scoring?
Dude. I've never, like, had the opportunity to think about scoring, but one of my favorite movies that came out this year, maybe you've seen it, but Swiss Army Man.
No.
The movie's completely genius. The guy, my favorite band ever is Manchester Orchestra. Like, without a doubt, they're my favorite band. They've done no wrong. But Andy Hall, the vocalist of Manchester Orchestra, scored that movie for Swiss Army Man. And not only did he score it, he did the whole movie completely a cappella.
Oh, there's no instrumentation?
No instrumentation, all a cappella.
That's
and like bodies
cool.
And like claps, stomps and stuff.
Wow. Who's in this movie? I've never even heard of it.
Daniel Radcliffe is in it, and I forget the secondary actor.
You mean
name,
Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah.
Harry Potter?
Yeah, Harry Potter. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I can see you being into those books. I'm a little old for that.
I mean, I wasn't, like, really ever into Harry Potter, but, dude, like, this movie is incredible. You should totally watch Swiss Army Man.
No, I wanted just to hear that soundtrack.
The soundtrack's great, man. I love the soundtrack. It's, like, one of my soundtracks ever created. Flipping a U-turn here.
Have you ever heard of the group Self? It's actually a solo guy. His name is Matt Mahaffey, and he produced Hello Goodbyes... Zombies, Vampires, that record, the Dinosaurs one with when we first met, that was the one right after it, Here in Your Arms on it. He was in this group called Self, and he recorded an album called Gizmodgery with all toys. Toys were the instruments. So that's just like an interesting...
Hello, Goodbye. Oh, I'm playing one of their songs tonight on my playlist. I'm playing Here.
That's the one I just referenced. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay.
At your emo night, Baltimore. Just make sure you don't get robbed. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, dude. I'm, like, trying not to. I'm, like, ever since I got robbed in January, I've just kind of been, like, really...
Overly paranoid?
Yeah, like, really paranoid. Like, I just... Like, my friend Rachel, who I just got out of the car with, in the 10-minute break, because we were talking about it, she lives maybe like 5 minutes away from the venue, and that's like, I've been crashing there some nights and then crashing with my friend Brian other nights. But tonight I
have
think
mercy,
I'm
Brian.
Going, yeah, yeah. Nice. So tonight I think I'm going to stay in like a safe part of town and then Uber to the venue. That way, so I don't have to leave anything at the venue overnight because drinks will be had. So I'm going to have to get an Uber no matter where I go tonight.
And you're alone.
I am alone. Well, I'm, like, not really. I'll be alone for a second. I'm about to drive to the studio. We're finishing up today. Today's the last day in the studio, so.
So this is just writing for the next record, or what is it for exactly?
Top Secret.
Okay, I won't say anything. I don't even know. I don't even know.
Yeah, dude, no one really knows, to be completely honest. Like, I try to play it off like I know, but realistically, I have no idea.
So it's not even top secret, it's just unknown.
Dude, it's literally so unknown that I have no idea what's going on. It's just like him and I jammed some songs. They sound cool. So that's pretty much what they are.
And you played with him, actually, when I saw you perform in Dallas.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I play. I love Have Mercy. They're like, no joke, one of my favorite bands in the world. So
they're a great band.
Like, it's been like a really great honor. To hang out with Brian Swindle and, like, become friends with, like, I would consider myself friends with him. Maybe you would disagree, but I've considered myself friends with him for a while, but it's, like, I really look up to that guy, so it's really cool to spend some more time, like, especially doing, like, writing stuff with him.
How old is he?
He's, man, I don't know if he would want me to tell, but
okay.
I think he's 26. I'm not really sure.
Wow, okay. Well, there's a big gap between the two of you.
Yeah, 6 years.
So I guess we can now talk about music that inspired you, because unless you want to give advice to the kids who want to do what you're doing.
Oh, people want advice? Oh, I love this question. I got this all the time.
That's the kind of the point of this is basically because there's lots of different radio shows out there. And
this is my go-to answer on the Say We Can Fly tour. Anytime someone told me that they were in a band, quit your band.
Okay.
That's my advice. No, I'm just joking, but I did tell that to people.
It's really, really sweet advice. You're a real sincere, honestly, nice person.
My main thing, like real advice is my main thing is like, all right, well, you know, if you put 100% of your heart into it, then, like, you're going to have to put money into it. And if people, that's, like, a turnoff for a lot of people because they're like, well, I don't have a lot of money. And it's like, dude, I had to work, like, 3 jobs to save up for my first tour ever. So it's, like, it's all about sacrificing. And I think it's completely important. You have to pay for your image. You know, if you're not a graphic designer, you should pay for someone to do your album cover. If you're not a record producer, you should pay for someone to record your record. Just all these things to make yourself look more professionally, I think it's completely important.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, every single person who's trying to build a business, you got to spend money to make money, and you don't need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, but you want a good product.
And so many bands that, like, just don't get it, you know? Like, they're like, oh, well, like, you know, the music isn't that enough. And I was like, honestly, in a perfect world, yeah. But, like, you have to pay for, you know, if you want professional photos taken, then, yeah, you should pay for, like, a good photographer. If you want a good album cover, you should pay for a good graphic designer. It's all these stuff that adds up, but it's just going to make you more legitimate in the long run. Like, I hear people complain about it all the time. It's like, why aren't things happening to me? It was like, because your promo pictures were taken on an iPhone. Like, so.
No, I mean, obviously, since everyone has phones that work as cameras, they feel like they're an amateur photographer/model, and it's just like, you should definitely pay someone professional to do this. You only get one chance to make a first impression, so.
Dude, totally. Wow, this person's not gonna let me over. Sorry.
It's all good.
Me just ranting about traffic now.
Well, give some more advice. Because this is some good stuff.
Yeah, dude, this is honestly, like, I mean, I maybe I've told Ross, and I might have even told you, but, like, when I'm, you know, 10 years from now, who knows if I'll still be performing. I kind of want to do, you know, like, I kind of would be interested in doing, like, what you and Ross do, like, management side. So I love giving advice. It's, like, one of my favorite things to help.
Well, that's...
I mean, I'm not that far along in my career, but if I could help someone, you know, I mentor.
Well, I came from your end. My voice is cracked, like I'm in puberty, but I was an artist on the road, and then I had several other jobs, actually worked at a law firm for over 5 years and started the management company completely accidentally. I mean, you're in your early 20s, right? So it's like you've got time, I guess, get on the road, meet more people, play some more shows, release incredible music, and if you want to shift to the dark side, as we say, I'm sure you can.
I love managing, man. I'm not like an official manager, but like, I just helped my buddy sign a record deal, and I got his music placed on a Spotify playlist for Worldwide and Starbucks.
Who?
And it's like, I can't tell who.
Is it who I think it is? The person I met in Dallas?
Yeah, my buddy that I was with.
Yeah.
Good for them. Just got him on like a Starbucks playlist, so like his music's gonna be Worldwide and Starbucks.
How'd you do that?
Just connections, man. But like I don't credit myself 100% with that, but you know, I gave that person those contacts, and so I feel confident as if I were to represent an artist, I would be able to get the same thing out of the context that I already have.
Well,
so
it's hard to juggle that while you're in a band. When I started the company, I was playing in another band, and I had to stop it.
I would never manage. So I would never officially call myself a manager until I'm like done with this. That sounds like too much work.
I mean, I just play a cover band every now and again with 90s music.
I love helping, so.
Well,
I think it's great.
You could help me right now by telling me, I guess, a few 90s acts you really like, and then we'll close this out.
A few 90s acts that I really like.
Because you seem like you were born in another generation, so.
I was born in the 90s. I don't know, man.
You like 2001 emo playlists, you know, so I'm curious.
Yeah. Oh, it's tough. I guess, like, I could say, like, Switchfoot. Switchfoot released their first record in the early 90s.
Did they?
Or late 90s, sorry.
Okay.
Late, not early 90s. Yeah, they released The Legend of Chin, I want to say, in, like, 1999.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was like 2004 and time's just blurring together.
Not 100% certain. I'm looking at their Wikipedia page, and it says they've been active since 96. So,
wow.
So,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, the Legend of Chin
was 97, dude. You're right.
Wow. Yeah, I remember listening to that when I was in like elementary school. I just thought they were super cool because I got involved in like church group, like youth group, at a really young age.
Right.
So I would go to like summer camp, like church summer camp, and I would listen to that and be like, oh my gosh, what is this? Oh, it's Switchfoot? This band's rad. And then Switchfoot was like a major key of my life for like a very long time. And then even like Reliant K as I got older.
I think they got better as they got older. I think that their first real good record was
I mean, dude, I love Switchfoot, and like I want to love them as long as I can, but I just do not like their new record. It sounds like someone in the studio was like, all right, how about Switchfoot meets Imagine Dragon? I'm like, I just don't
Did
like
you
it.
Hear the Reliant K record? Not their most recent one, which I thought was just okay. The one before it sounded like a Katy Perry album, which I think he used to actually date.
The last record that I loved from Reliant K was Forget Not Slow Down.
Yeah, me too. Well, okay. let's end on that note. I hope to never forget you. I hope you never slow down. Please give your socials to the people listening.
Oh, at Chase Hugling. And then if you want to send me pictures of your dog on Snapchat, it's Chase Hug Music. So pretty much everything is at Chase Hugling.
Look at that. And By the time you're listening to this, I will be likely in Asia, which is pretty rad. I'm going to be interviewing Kevin Miller from the band Mirror Eyes and Zach James. The very first interview I did, which did not air yet, will be up soon. So thank you guys so much for tuning into Waldman's Words every single Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And again, Chase, you're the man. I appreciate your time. I hope that your top secret project goes swimmingly.
Man, I'm sure it'll go well.
Cool. I like that confident tone. I'm sure it'll go well, and that's how we end the show.
If I ever get to the studio today, but I'm sure it'll go well. Right. I appreciate you talking, Scott.
Later, buddy.
Yeah.